11. First six verses, chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones of the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and at evening, withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. That's a great passage. Please sit down. It's so great that when I first read it, I thought, oh, I don't make sense of it. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just amazed at the not hidden secrets that you somehow mysteriously squeeze out of the text and allegorize. No. You've got to really scratch your head, sweat it out, spend some time trying to figure out what the Spirit of God has recorded. Verse 5 is a mouthful. I mean, the whole verse is one long sentence about birth. The first verse seems to indicate something about bread. You know, you go by the seashore and throw bread on the water and it floats. Verse 2 kind of is a little easier to understand. It's talking about giving. Verse 5, simple in the first part. Clouds full of rain will burst forth rain. But what about this tree falling? Oh yeah, it was simple enough. Wherever it falls, doesn't really matter. Wherever it falls, there it'll be. I mean, that's it. Close the Bible and pray, God, you gave me a golden thought. I don't know what it is. I feel good. I read and had my quiet time a little bit, you know. And if it worries me that I didn't understand too much, I'm not going to bother about getting worried about this because I've got my life to live, right? This week I was talking to someone that most of us, even in DCC, most believers, we're not unbelievers in DCC, most likely, we are believers. And even though the sower, the first three categories of soil are the unbelievers, it seems like most believers, real believers, true disciples of Jesus Christ, are living in the thorns. Did you realize that most of you are so bothered with life and with the cares of this world and making life happen and, you know, somehow struggling with the boss and with your paycheck and relationships at home and wants and, you know, it just goes on and on. And so the thorns keep choking the life out of us. So why worry about what this bread is that we cast on the waters? Anyway, I have life to live. the thorns to sort out in my life. No, no, no. Let's ponder on how to understand this passage. The context of this whole passage is about being generous. Be generous. And you get a clue from verse 2. Give. And you get a further clue, you know, it kind of fits in. The clouds are full. What happens? It gives out what it is full with. And about sowing, you know. Don't worry about the wind. Worry about sowing. Don't keep looking at your excuses, or you will not reap. Verse 5 and 6, you know, if you try to figure out everything, you can't. I mean, you can't figure out birth. How does life form in the womb? You can't figure out anything. What should you do? Be faithful in your generosity. Is it fitting? Is it coming together for you? I hope so. You know, as we were praying in threes, I was asking the Lord to help me stop preaching from Ecclesiastes and preach on the topic of enthusiasm. That was what I was reflecting as I was by myself here. I don't have two others to pray with, so I'm praying with three others actually. You know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But I am reflecting here. Lord, I want to make DCC full of people with enthusiasm. And I thought, no, I should not deviate from Ecclesiastes, especially as Christmas is coming and then I will have to deviate. And so I said, let me spend this time also looking at next week's passage. And you know what? Next week's passage is about being enthusiastic. I'm not charismatic, you know. I don't get this prompting and tingling sensations. But I'm so glad I have a message that I want to preach in the sequence that I'm going to be taking. So next week is about being enthusiastic. But this week is about being enthusiastic about giving away. And I love to think about my school. See, I got emotional when Ajit Jagtap called me and he scolded me and he said, you know, in slang, I don't know where I was, why I don't keep in touch. And then he tells me my teacher died. And it affects me. Because Bishop School contributed so much to my life. My school made a man out of me. My school principal loved me. Mr. Lunn loved me. And he showed me how to stand. He was a short man, but he stood tall for me. I owe him so much. And he was perhaps the first Indian principal of the Bishop School, Pune. And he invented the school prayer, the school song. And he put into the assembly every day another prayer. I've quoted it often in DCC. And I will quote it again. This is the prayer Mr. Lung taught us to pray every day in Bishop School. Teach us, good Lord, to serve thee as thou deservest, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that we know that we do thy will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I can't think of a more spiritual, Bible-based, Christ-exalting prayer. Bishop School gave me a rich heritage just in that prayer. And the first two verses of chapter 11 is saying, you give and there will be a return. You don't give because you want a return. Oh no, that is motivated giving. That is ulterior motivation. I'm going to get, so I'll give. And that's what's wrong with the tele-evangelists. And the preachers who say, sow your seed and God will prosper you. That's not what the Bible teaches. Besides everything else you can say against this kind of teaching that says, sow your seed and you will reap prosperity. That's not what the Bible teaches. I want you to go to a text, not in my notes, but in my head and heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 is about giving. And see the prosperity that the Bible teaches you will reap if you sow in giving. Not what these false teachers are labeling as prosperity. The Bible gives you a spiritual prosperity that you will reap. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, both chapter 8 and 9 is about giving, and you do well to study it and read it again and again and get a grip of it. But from verse 6, the point is this. I hope you're getting the point. The Spirit of God has put the words there. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will reap also bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God, look at this prosperity. And God, verse 8, is able to make all grace abound. See the prosperity? You will abound in grace. And to what? So that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. What is the prosperity? You will get all grace to abound in more good works, because what you have will be sufficient for all time. Did you realize that? And that connects with Philippians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul says, I have learned, whether I have much or little, to be content in every situation where money is concerned. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. We just read that in Psalm 112. But now look, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your. You got it? Righteousness. What will you prosper in it? You know, it is really saying you will have so much to give, and that giving will result in more righteousness. It is not saying just you will become more righteous. It is saying when you give, the result will be the increase of righteousness. Look further. Verse 11, more prosperity. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way. Underline those things, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. What will happen? People will start worshiping God, being grateful to God that there was a person like you who loved Jesus Christ and gave generously in Jesus' name to prosper righteousness and thanksgiving to God. Look further, 4 verse 12. The ministry of the service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. By the approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. Are you seeing it? My giving, my generosity will cause people to meet their needs. Yes, practical needs will be met, but they will also start abounding in thanksgiving to God. They will grow spiritually. While they long for you and pray for you. Can you imagine that? Even in some of the good work that DCC has done in the past, instead of gratitude, there was complaining. There was criticism. There was a sense of, this is my right. You are getting money. You should use this money to look after me. The Bible is saying that is not the result that God expects. The result God expects and will bring to our righteous generosity will be those who receive the help will say, ah, we want to pray for you. We want to give thanks to God for you. We want to worship God, the one who inspires you to that generosity. Why? Because of the, look at verse 14, the surpassing grace of God upon you. And therefore, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift of Jesus Christ. You see the prosperity? It is not your personal prosperity for your own good and for your family, so that you can buy larger houses and live more comfortably. It is so that you can be more generous in all good works. You know, the first thing the believer does when he is prospering is not, how can I get bigger and bigger? But how can I do more and more for others? There are some people whose stories I like to pursue. There used to be a man living in Guruarpet in Pune, pagan, Bhai Vaidya. Have you heard his name? We don't care. Puneri should know about Bhai Vaidya. He became a politician, never changed his house, stayed simple. Am I right? Anyone heard of him? Yeah. Then I heard about a lady called Mamata Banerjee. For all her weirdness, you go visit her and ask her which house she stays in. I don't think she still changed her house. In a very small locality of Kolkata. And I think she still wears the same kind of quality of saris that she used to before she became chief minister. You go to Tripura, Agartala, and meet the chief minister of Tripura. And you talk to him. He's a leftist communist. Why him? I stayed in the home of one of the opposition leaders of Tripura Parliament early this year. I couldn't believe he is, I mean, at the gate he's got commandos guarding him. But his house is like a slum. And the juxtaposition of that kind of situation, bodyguards, you know, by the government to protect him. And yet his living room was about this much. And there was no bookshelf. And I was trying to work out how I can clean up his room because it was such a mess. Hema calls me Mr. Clean It Man. This last person claims to be a believer in Jesus Christ. But most of the others are pagans. And then I look at us in DCC and I wonder what motivates us in our prosperity. And what do we want when we prosper? How much of that prosperity have we given away? Is your hand that way, giving, or is it this way? And you look again at chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians and it says, verse 10, multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission. To what? Your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ. And the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. I submit to the gospel of Christ. Do I? You know, with my submission to the gospel of Christ is the submission of my prosperity. For what? For the upliftment of the have-nots. Don't ask the question, why is there so much injustice? That's an incomplete question. Why are there people who have and there are people who have not? Don't ask that question to then speculate and make philosophy of the situation. If you are a have, God put you in that category of having so that you can come alongside the have-nots. How many have-nots have you befriended? Have you befriended anyone who has less than you? Really? It is your submission. Look at that passage again, to the gospel of Christ. I hope you realize that if you are submitting yourself to the gospel of Christ, you will care for the have-nots. It's not an activity. Social work is not an activity. Let the NGOs do that. I don't believe local churches should have a department of helping hands. I think everyone should have an outstretched hand. You know what will happen? Some people might even become disciples of Jesus Christ. I was told about Lalu Prasad Yadav when he was chief minister of Bihar and Jharkhand was not a state. He was going in his cavalcade, convoy of cars and security. And as he was going, they were passing by a riverside. And this former chief minister, he saw people by the riverside and he got curious. What are y'all doing by the riverside this early in the morning? And so he told his convoy, go there. Let's see what these people are doing. And he found there was a bunch of Christians in a baptism service. And I got this 100th hand, so I can't authenticate it. But this is what he said to these people. Go ahead. You have my blessing. Please go ahead, because we politicians don't care for you. The government doesn't care for you. These Christians care for you. They'll give you rice, they'll give you medicine, they'll give you houses, they'll give you whatever you need. They care for you. Become Christians. Lalu did a real Lalu thing. Today, many in Jharkhand, I don't know if you met Jharkhandis, are Christians. Do you know that? Socially, nominally, still going to hell because they came for getting things. But the principle stands tall in the history of the universe. And we should not be ashamed of it. That Christian righteousness included generosity. Did you know? Because the gospel is God so loved the world that he gave his prized possession. And believers, you can't give like God gives. But most of us prize our possessions, don't we? Do you love a lost, mean, broken, perverse world that you give and give and not count the cost All you want to know is that you're doing God's will. And this is the message of this passage. And the first two verses are saying, you will have a return. Generosity, or you can say great generosity, renders great rewards. That's not an ulterior motive. This is an idiomatic phrase. It's like saying, send off to the high seas your goods, your wealth, as the ship sail on the waters. And when they go and trade, what happens? They prosper. They will bring a report, or they will bring back a reward. So it's saying habitually, regularly, cast your bread upon the waters. It's not saying be careless. It's saying let your liberality, generosity flow regularly, consistently, habitually. And one day, or many days later, you will find it. And it is not in getting more and more wealth, but you will find everywhere you go, there will be people who say, I know you. I love you. And your generosity has shown me Jesus. I can't remember some names, but I remember in St. Paul's youth group, there used to be some Ugandans who were studying in the Film Institute, Law College Road. They used to come and they used to just see me in the meetings, leading meetings and whatnot. They never really came to my home, but they knew I was poor as a dormouse. And every once in a while, they would give me 100 rupees. In those days, 100 rupees was a lot of money. Miss Wordsworth? Every fate, whether in school or in St. Paul's, Miss Wordsworth and her clan, the Olivers, they would be around and they'd buy these big sheets of coupons and give me 3 or 4 sheets of coupons. Enjoy yourself. I never forget. Unfortunately, they didn't tell me about Jesus Christ. I already knew Jesus. But I haven't forgotten generosity. Have you? Have you received generosity ever? Are you grateful? Or you take it for granted? That is quite a big sin most of us carry, you know. Oh, we may have said thank you, but we don't live a life of gratitude. You will find it after many days. Don't find fault with generosity. Verse 2 is saying, give a portion to 7. Oh, no. Don't stop at 7. That's a perfect number in Hebrew idiom. Go beyond the perfect number. Even to 8. You know what it's saying? Be liberal. I mean, don't stop at the perfect. It's not saying, therefore, be imperfect, all right? It's just saying, go beyond. Even to 8, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. You can take that to mean, you know, if you keep your wealth and you die, it's of no use. There's this lady who had some utensils and saris and tablecloths, and she was not able to use them. And I knew she was going to die one day. And I used to keep telling her, you're going to die. You better give it while you're alive so people can come and say thank you. Because anyway, after you die, I'm going to give it all away on your behalf. So why don't you give it while you're alive, before disaster strikes? Or all your money in the stock market, it's climbing up again, right? Wonderful. But who knows, next month it might plumb down all over again. Why are we keeping it there? Recently I heard someone kept 2 lakhs in rupee bank. It's gone. Gone, 2 lakhs. Wow. Might get it one day. Disaster comes, right? Whether to the bank, the stock market, or to your health. Let me tell you this. I know for sure that if I get sick and I'm rushed to the hospital, even if I have no money, I'll be looked after. I know that. I have invested enough in people's lives. I'll be looked after. I don't have to worry about having a bank balance for a rainy day. Really, I don't need to. I can be secure in God and in the people I have served all my life. Amen. Now, I'm not putting a load on you, okay? Even if you don't do it, there are people around the world who do it. There was a Bishop Reed, retired Bishop of Nasik of the Church of England, who was my parish priest for some years. Till the age of 80 or something, he would cycle to church and everywhere he went. He died because a truck knocked him down while he was cycling for a 7:30 Wednesday Holy Communion service where my two older sisters and I were waiting. And a rickshawman came and told us, "Tumhara father mar gaya." And we little children went to see with the church peon. And then St. Paul's Church organized a funeral for this parish priest, Bishop Reed. Look up the annals of the history of St. Paul's Church. And I tell you, there must have been a few thousand people at that funeral. And as a little boy, I stood there in the choir and I sang my heart out because this man gave his life away. And besides members of St. Paul's Church, there were bhangis, sweepers from around town, postmen, class 4 people from I don't know where all. There was a crowd of those kind of people. And that day is etched in my mind because I began to think, when I die, I hope I leave an impact like that. What are you living for? Is your life making an impact with your generosity? Do you live every day of your life for somebody else? And then you can abandon yourself because you are not fighting for your insecurities. You're secure in Christ and you're secure in your good works. Your generosity related to the submission you have to the gospel. Quickly, Deuteronomy chapter 15. Verse 10. Look at verse 9 even. Take care, Deuteronomy 15, 9 and 10. Take care lest there be an unworthy thought in your heart and you say the seventh year, the year of release is near and your eye look grudgingly on your poor brother and you give him nothing, and he cried to the Lord against you, and you are be guilty of sin. Did you know that verse is there? You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him, because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all your all that you undertake. You know, God doesn't want anyone poor in the land of Israel, among his people. The Parsis are committed to this. You know that? If you go past Synagogue Street, there is a whole colony. If you go down the road past the Tower of Silence towards Gultekri, there's a whole Parsi colony, right? And either subsidized or free housing is given to poor Parsis. Did you know that? You don't need to become a Parsi. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there should be no poor among the followers of Jesus Christ, because the haves among the followers of Jesus Christ look after the have-nots. That is not a call for the have-nots to say, let me be lazy. You get it? Because the Bible also teaches accountability. Psalm 41. Verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. Did you realize that? Your generosity will keep you also when your enemies hit out at you. Are these part of your memorizing of scripture? Do you memorize these verses? Proverbs 11. Verse 18. The wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. Proverbs 19, verse 17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay him for this his deed. I shouldn't misunderstand this verse. I'm not lending to the Lord in the literal sense. But that's what God is saying. It is like lending to the Lord. He will repay you. And therefore the Bible says when you give, you know, when you give, don't expect it to come back. And there are people who'll borrow and reward you with not giving it back. That's a bad habit. But that's a different sermon. Isaiah 32, verse 20, says this: happy are you who sow beside all waters. See that? Happy are you who sow beside all waters, who let the feet of the ox and the donkey range free. Now, I don't know whether God wants you to think of people as oxes and donkeys, but I think there must be literal oxes and donkeys. You let them free, roam free. Isaiah 58, verse 7. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? When talking about God's fast in Isaiah 58. Is not fasting more appropriate when you share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Why are you being holy and spiritual and you read the Bible and you memorize scripture and you're doing this and you're doing that and you're leading a Bible study and you don't care for needy people around you? James 1:27, this is true religion, undefiled, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Luke chapter 14. Verses 13 and 14. But when you give a feast, oh, we party a lot. But which of us can say we party like this? Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. We used to run Mukti Yojana ministry. There used to be an officer of YMCA Pune, Quarter Gate. At least once he called and said, I want to celebrate my son's birthday with the children of Mukti Yojana. And the whole family came and had dinner. Instead of having a birthday party in their home, there was a doctor, there is a doctor called Chitre, who did similar. Do you all remember these things? But do you remember any DCCO who celebrated our birthdays like that? We had guests celebrating birthdays. We need to come under conviction. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. To be read with all those verses that we read before. Don't be sparing. Don't hold back. Galatians 6. Seven onwards. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh sow, reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And then see these words. And then let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith, who are Christians. Our first duty is to fellow believers. First Timothy chapter 6, 18 and 19. We should read from verse 17, really. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Thus, storing up treasure for themselves is a good foundation for the future. Underline that, a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. You live the abundant life by generosity. Stop being stingy in your generosity. There are practical things to do, you know. There was one believer, every time he went to the textile shop to buy a piece for himself and go to the tailor to make trousers for himself, he bought one for me. And it used to amaze me. I mean, he said, no, I can't think of making a pair of trousers for myself and neglect you. You're in ministry. Can you do something like that, simple like that, as a regular thing? Every time you shop for yourself, shop for someone who doesn't have. Every time you eat, don't pray, Lord, you please remember the poor. We're amazing, you know, we're so intelligent. I mean, we try to even pull the wool over God's eyes. Or we might say, and Lord, we remember the poor. You know, if I really remember the poor, I might choke on some of that rich food. I really might, if I really remember the poor, because I'll be remembering those pictures that come sometimes in magazines and newspapers and TV where I say, so gross. Ugh. I can't stand it. I feel like puking. How can they be living like that? That's remembering the poor, the have not. Have you ever been there? Have you gone to such people? Please go visit on a regular basis. Don't do guerrilla social work. You know, you go and come back quickly. And then you're waiting for the antiseptic or whatever to keep yourself hygienic. It's bad, bad there. You know, there's a lot of people that need your generosity because of the gospel. Hebrews chapter 13. And we're going to close with this verse. Hebrews chapter 13. And verse 2. I hope you see all these verses are exhortations, are commands, not suggestions. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Years later, casting my bread on the waters, years later, individuals have come back. I remember one individual. I just started the Love Maharashtra ministry, and he came to my little house in Staveley Road. Tall, and he said, you know, Chris, you've done so much for me. I never once said thank you to you. And he pulled out his wallet. And he gave me 600 rupees. He said, you know, I've never said thank you to you. Years later, the bread cast on the waters came back. And it has happened many times over. So back to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And what does it teach us? Cast your bread upon the waters. You will find it after many days. Rest secure in your generosity, because there is great reward. Give a portion to 7 or even to 8, for you know not what disaster may overtake you on earth. Father, we thank you so much. You're a generous God. And in Christ, you gave me everything. And now you call on me and fellow citizens of your kingdom to give and not to count the cost, for the glory of the gospel and the exaltation of Christ. Help us to be like this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to the Lord's table, the Bible tells us to examine ourselves. So let's bow in prayer. And in the quietness of our hearts, examine ourselves.